If you're anything like I was, the thought of getting older was the last thing on your mind. But here we are. For me, it started slowly. The lack of energy. Never being in the mood. And when I was, I could never perform at my best. I tried the pills and other treatments with minimal results, and all but given up on my sex life. Then, I found the doctors at New Mayo Medical Center. Wow, they made a new male out of me. Feel like I'm 25 again. I have renewed vigor, so much more energy, and no longer worry about my performance. New Mayo treated me like my situation was one of a kind. With a custom treatment plan that really works, I feel great. They can create one for you too. It does not matter if you suffer from low testosterone, erectile dysfunction, or just want to last longer. New Mayo will help you.
Call New Mayo Medical Center today at 847-852-4144. That's 847-852-4144. 847-852-4144. It will change your life. 847-852-4144.
What would happen if you suddenly lost your electricity or your natural gas, even your cable TV, because a neighbor didn't contact Julie before starting a digging project? From trees and mailbox posts to fences and decks, remember to contact Julie before you dig. Know what's below. Contact Julie 2 business days before you start. Simply call 811 or go online at IllinoisOneCall.com. It's a free service. It's smart and it's the law.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studio. This is the official radio home for White Sox baseball. Listen to every White Sox game here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station, WSER, and HD Chicago, WJMK, HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, the Wolves are tied up 1-1 in the first round of the playoffs. Visit ChicagoWolves.com for information. The Bulls could not complete the sweep of the Milwaukee Bucks, so Game 5 takes place tonight at the UC. Tip-off is at 7. Cleveland waits for the winner of the Bulls-Bucks series. Kevin Love could miss up to 2 weeks with a dislocated shoulder, but no official word from the team yet. J.R. Smith may face a suspension for an altercation in the Cavs' Game 4 win over Boston. On to baseball, the Cubs host the Pirates. Jason Hammel opposes Vance Worley. The White Sox are in Baltimore with Hector Nwesi facing Ubaldo Jimenez. Pregame on the Score starts at 5:35. The Blackhawks will take on the Minnesota Wild in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Hawks will have home ice advantage, which means Game 1 will be at the UC. Game dates have not yet been announced. NFL draft begins this Thursday here in Chicago.
As Bears fans, you always get excited. You know, you're wondering who they're going to pick. Bears fans are expecting me to stay out of the draft room, so I'm going to grant their wishes. And so I'm looking forward, just like any other fan, to who we're going to pick and get some talent, get the Bears back to greatness.
That's George McCaskey on with Mully and Hanley this morning. You can hear that entire interview at 670thescore.com. The Bears have the 7th overall pick.
And this is going to be it.
Justin Rose won the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. This scoreboard update is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. And now it's time for yesterday's King of the Day, brought to you by WCIU The U. Catch the hilarious comedy King of Queens weeknights at 11 p.m. Yesterday's King of the Day was Cubs second baseman Addison Russell. Addison Russell. He had a 3-run double in the Cubs 5-2 win over Cincinnati. I'm Matt Abatacola, and you're listening to the radio home for White Sox baseball. The next game on the Score is tonight at 5:35 when the Sox take on the Baltimore Orioles on 670 The Score. 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour brought to you by New Mayo Medical Center. Discover the new you. NewMayoMedical.com.
Oh, baby!
Lynn Casper.
Absolutely massacred. Soler.
Chicago Cubs play-by-play man.
Cubs win! Rizzo! Comes through!
All the latest news and notes from the Cubs.
Cubs lead! Dexter Fowler! 2-run homer!
Way out of here! Chris Bryant's done it again!
Lynn Casper.
To infinity and beyond.
What's that from?
Star Wars.
Lynn Casper with Boers and Bernstein on 670 The Score.
At 203 Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, Boers and Bernstein. We are indeed ready to talk some baseball.
He's on Twitter at Len Casper, and he joins us on the Grossinger Lincolnwood hotline. Find over 4,000 vehicles at grossingerdeals.com. Having some early fun with some of these outcomes The Cubs at 10-7 and right in it and starting to settle into a little bit of the beginnings of perhaps some kind of professional identity. It's certainly been some compelling television so far, Len.
It has, Stan. Terry, welcome back, by the way. Great to hear your voice.
Oh, you don't mean that, but I'll take that.
No, by the way, I mean that.
I want you to feel comfortable to talk to me like Brian Price would.
I can't, unfortunately. Maybe on the internet we could, but not on terrestrial radio.
Okay, when I see
you,
I fully expect it.
Yeah, no, it's been fun. I tweeted earlier today that the fun thing about this start is that the Cubs' best player is Anthony Rizzo, and nobody's talking about him, and that tells you how much they've added to this lineup. Soler's struggling right now, but he got off to a good start. Chris Bryant has been great through nine games. Addison Russell with a big three-run double yesterday. Jonathan Herrera. I mean, everybody top to bottom on this roster is pitching in right now. And that
Castro, you haven't even said Castro yet. Think about that.
Stalin Castro, I was just going to say, has gotten off to the best start of his career both ways, offensively. Mm-hmm. And defensively, and John Lester still, you know, four starts in, has gotten a little better every time out. I thought it was his best start in his last outing. The bullpen has been up and down, but overall, you're 10-7. You feel like the best is still yet to come. So I think Cub fans should feel very good about the way things have gone these first 3 weeks.
Yeah, just watching Castro in the field with some of the routine stuff that, you know, he said all the right things. And we know how unhappy some of the bosses were with what was going on with him in the Dominican and some of the personal stuff. And in general, how it's sort of taken a village to bring this guy along when he arrived at age 20 and was given all the money. He's definitely showing signs of growth when you don't see the drifting. I'm not saying it's not ever going to happen, but in there with the spectacular is still, you've lost that feeling now when you see an in-between hop or you see him ranging to one side or the other thinking, ooh, that sort of, that nervousness in the moment, at least I don't have it anymore.
I agree, Dan. He's an intriguing guy. He's one of the most interesting pro athletes in Chicago because he's never been on a winning team. This month is the first time his team has ever been three games over 500. Think about that. And what tends to happen, I think, when you have losing ball clubs is the best players tend to get kind of picked apart more than any other. I'm guilty of that. He has had focus issues in the past. I think what you said is accurate. It's not that it's never going to happen again. But I see a different player right now, and I think winning helps. I think he's a guy who probably needs to be engaged with teams that are in it. You know, some players just tend to be better on winning teams. I can't explain it, but he has looked like a different guy. He had a terrible spring training defensively, and I felt like he was pressing, maybe thinking too much about all these kids who are trying to take his job away. But since the regular season started, he's been great. His heart's in the right place. I've maintained that from day one. It's just some guys have certain skill sets and some guys have others. And his biggest asset is his ability to put his hands in the right place and get the barrel on the ball. But if he can play defense like he has these first 3 weeks, now all of a sudden you can leave him at short where he wants to be and you can put Baez somewhere else. You've got Russell at second. There are a lot of other options. And I don't feel like there's any rush right now to move him because I don't know really what else the Cubs need right now. I'd keep him right where he is.
You know, it's interesting because we mentioned Len, the Cubs 10-7 now, as you just point out, and it's been a while before since that's happened. But now you've got the Cardinals, and we've been through this act before without Adam Wainwright. This is not like, oh my God, Adam Wainwright's hurt. I mean, he's been hurt before, and the Cardinals have seemingly managed to somehow overcome that and still be pretty damn good. I assume they will this time as well. But this certainly does, at least for the Cubs, and you never know what's going to happen in baseball. It could happen to anybody in the Cubs at any time. But it certainly gives the Cubs, if you didn't have anything, even better. As you look ahead, you go, holy crap. I mean, maybe we really can do this. I mean, you're missing a guy who's a terrific pitcher, and I don't know when he's coming back, and it doesn't look like at all this year. And I know we've seen it before, but I just wonder, do players think like that? Do they sort of go, ooh, you know what? We're playing pretty good, and now we can be there the entire way. There's no reason why we shouldn't be.
I think they may think about it when they're asked about it, but in the overall, I think it would be very dangerous to assume that just because Wainwright is probably done this year that the Cardinals are too. If you look at what's going on, their starting staff has the best earned run average in all of baseball. And they've got kid Marco Gonzalez, who will probably end up filling in for Wainwright. I think they have enough depth to be fine during the regular season, where it probably hurt the Cardinals. I heard Jim Bowden on the radio yesterday, and I agree with him. It'll probably pop up in October more than anything else. Now, Bowden thinks the Cardinals still have, without Wainwright, top to bottom, the best rotation in this division. I think the Cubs could possibly make that claim moving forward if John Lester becomes the guy everybody expects him to be. So don't count them out yet. It doesn't help the Cardinals' cause by any stretch, but I still feel like they're the team to beat. The Pirates are still going to hang around. I don't like the Reds very much. I don't like the Brewers. I think it's going to be a three-team race. And when it's all said and done, all three may get in.
So how about this? The injury to Adam Wainwright occurring the way in which it did has a doubly positive effect, not only helping the Cubs' chances this year, but if it's possible that it adds into the discussion of what many of us believe is the inevitability of the designated hitter being adopted by the National League, all of a sudden, be it Kyle Schwarber, be it Big Danny Vogelbach, there is a coveted roster spot for a no-field all-hit guy that the Cubs could have.
I'm glad you brought that up. I've had an interesting morning and afternoon on Twitter. I like NL-style baseball. I have come to the conclusion, not based on the Wainwright injury, but based on the fact that we have interleague play every day, that that ship has sailed. The DH will never go away in the American League. Everything the last 20 years is moving toward getting rid of the American League identity and the National League identity. Umpires are no longer hired by each league. They can work an AL game or an NL game. You don't have league presidents anymore. Somebody tweeted me, and it was a great point. What if the Eastern Conference and the NBA had no three-pointer? Would that make any sense?
No.
Or if the Western Conference games in the National Hockey League, you had three-minute power plays? We're getting to a point where the rules just have to be the same. And I'm willing to admit that they're never going to get rid of the designated hitter. So it's an inevitability that we're going to have the DH league-wide. The National League of Major League Baseball, I think, guys, is basically the only league in the world that doesn't have the DH. Kids
That's
grow
correct.
Up with the DH, high school, college ranks, throughout the minor leagues. So we're kind of dinosaurs here if we feel like they're going to get rid of the DH in the American League or keep it separated. So I'm all for it. The other part of it is people say, well, a pitcher can get hurt throwing the ball to first base or fielding a comebacker. Yeah, but do we really want Max Scherzer and Adam Wainwright and, God forbid, one of the Cubs' top starters to go down because he's trying to bunt and he breaks a thumb? I think in the end we want our star players to do what they do best, and for pitchers they need to pitch.
Yeah, Lenny, I don't know who opposes it, who steals
a lot of people, Terry. I'm getting some hate tweets, but that matters, though.
Across the league, yeah. There's the people across the league that you run across, or you just like your buddies on Twitter.
I do think there's some National League people. I'm curious what Joe has to say about it, since he's been a career-long American League guy, and now is in the AL. Selfishly, it's harder to score a game when you got to do double switches. When we do American League Baseball, it's amazing to me how easy the game is on paper. I'm fine with it. I've come to the conclusion that what are we doing? Let's just do the DH. Big Poppy's better than Travis Wood. Travis Wood can pinch hit in the 20th inning if we go that far in an American League game.
It would be similar to using a position player as an emergency pitcher.
Sure.
You know, it's a little novelty there. Oh, look, Jason Marquis has to pinch run or he has to pinch hit, something like that. It was Scherzer himself who, and all the names that we're invoking here, Scherzer himself said, who would you rather watch hit, me or Big Poppy?
That's what he said.
Right.
That's an easy answer there.
I'm fine. I'm not going to lose sleep over it anymore. It's when, not if. And going back to your point, Dan, I think sooner than later would benefit this Cubs organization for sure.
So that's the question, though. Did Theo bet on that? Is some of their drafting and some of these redundant pieces, was there actual a forethought, or based on maybe something he might think he knows, saying, look, if we time this right, don't worry about it. It's going to take care of itself.
We'll have our
DH. This is about when we're going to have a DH.
You'd have to ask him, but my guess is no.
Okay.
And here's why. I think their entire philosophy has been run scoring is down, offensive is down. It's going to be a lot tougher to find power hitters, pure power hitters, without all the other stuff we saw in the last 20 years that's now banned. And pitching is much more mercurial, especially at the top of the draft. So let's, in the high rounds, get as many hitters as we can. We'll figure out the rest later, and we'll figure out the pitching later. So what you've seen is a lot of depth picks with pitching late in the draft, and then these Scott Feldman deals and turning those guys into younger pitchers and players. I don't think that really played into it. But, yeah, maybe it was the 10th reason on the list. But it, like you said, to get all these kids at this level, they're going to have to find some room somewhere, and yeah, having a DH would certainly help.
How's Bryant look to you at third?
He's been fine. I know, Dan, you're not a fan, and no, you know, some of the throws haven't been great, but mm-hmm, I haven't seen him lose a game yet. And based on the roster construction, it's fine, and he's already played the outfield. He might move around a little bit. Yep. He could play first base if Rizzo gets hurt or needs a day off. I would say third baseman mainly, but can play a couple of other spots. And because he's been such an above-average offensive player, 8 walks, 9 strikeouts, don't forget about that. You know, it's not as if he's a 2-walk, 20-strikeout
well,
guy
right
now.
They pitch him tough. They don't pitch him like some guy who just wanted to, you know. I mean, they pitch him tough.
Yeah, they're not throwing him a lot of fastballs now. Nope. And when, nope, you know, they're trying to crowd him, mm-hmm, jam him, not let him get the head of the bat out there. I've just been impressed with his ability. And a lot of these hitters to take the ball the other way. He reminds me a little bit of Miguel Cabrera, who hit everything for power to right center. He'll be able to turn on a ball like he did the foul ball that he hit 900 feet in Pittsburgh. But so far, I've been really impressed with him.
Is Soler okay? Because his offensive game struggling had been so impressive as far as pitch selection, and now it looks like he's chasing and reaching. How much of that is pitchers setting him up by showing him some looks where they think he's going to bite and he needs to make